doing what you don't want to do grows you. Doing what you don't want to do grows you. And we know this, right? We know that there's things that, you know, we're not always going to be motivated to do, but we know that by doing it and by having that discipline to do it, like going to the gym or whatever the things that you don't want to do, but you know that they're good for you, you do them. There's been things like I have friends that do cold plunges. They hate it. I don't have one friend that's like, oh my gosh, Natalie, I just love freezing cold water, but they do it because they know the benefits. They know the health benefits. They know, and they actually, a lot of them say that they love the endorphins that they get afterwards. And I was thinking about this, you know, a lot actually just recently, because I was thinking about a lot of things that I do personally that I don't want to do, but I have such a discipline to do it. And so recently I listened to this podcast by Huberman. If you don't listen to Huberman, he's awesome. I love him because he backs it up with science. Like he backs up with facts and studies. But he was talking to this guy. If you've never heard of Goggins, Goggins is amazing. He does cuss a lot. Like if you're sensitive to the F-bomb, like I would definitely not recommend him, but, but his message is amazing. And Goggins really puts himself, he lives this, like he lives what he calls is like in the dungeon space of like living in the place of things I don't want to do. And that, cause he knows that's where he grows. It's where he goes to that dark place so that he can find like himself. It's so bizarre, but he finds like a greater self in the dark place. And in this podcast that I was listening to, he was sharing with him, you know, all the things that Goggins puts his body through to Huberman. He was telling him like, you know, the 100-mile races that he's done and jumping into fires. And he puts himself in crazy situations and puts himself honestly in very dangerous situations, but he goes there because he wants to see what he's capable of. And he's like, I've discovered so much more of me by doing these hard things. And Huberman said, you know, well, actually what happens is when you do things that you don't want to do, you actually grow this part of your brain, which is called the anterior mid something line. You'll have to look it up, but it's like the anterior mid line, basically the middle of your brain. And Huberman even said, you're not going to remember this, but just think it's like the middle of your brain. And there's this anterior mid blank in your brain. And this part of your brain only grows when you put yourself in situations that you don't want to do and you do it anyways. And he's like, and it's kind of like a muscle. It begins to grow. And he said, this actually grows. This is the place that grows, which is why a lot of people that are, say they're athletes at one point in their life and they put themselves through a lot of pain. They put themselves through, you know, a lot of training, things, you know, they woke up every day and even though they didn't want to train for 3 or 4 hours, but they did it anyways, because they knew that they were going to get better at their game. He said, you'll find this a lot in soldiers, right? In the military, where they don't want to go. They don't get up and be like, oh, yippee-yay, you know, I can't wait to do all of this training and roll around in sand and go in the freezing cold ocean and, you know, drown ourselves and, you know, get, you know, quote unquote, save like the Navy SEALs, right? They like put them underwater and have to go through all these things. But it's not that these Navy SEALs are like, oh yay, I can't wait to like roll around in sand and, you know, get blisters all over my feet. But they do it because they know the discipline of it is going to lead them to be able to be a warrior, a soldier, and get on the battle lines. So what he was saying is he's like, this mid part of your brain grows in a lot of athletes, soldiers. And he's like, and what's interesting is that when push comes to shove, this is the place that if it's well developed, if one of these people were to get cancer or have a life-threatening thing, the will to live would be massive. He's like, and you actually, he said, what's interesting is that they have actually seen that obese people, and in obese people, this is very small. And a lot of times when an obese person gets a disease or whatever, they die faster than if it had happened, if cancer had struck in, say, someone that was an athlete or a soldier, because that part of their brain actually fights for them, because they have put themselves in places and situations that are difficult, and they've pushed and pushed and pushed. And he said, what's interesting is that for an obese person, they've never put them, for a lot of people, he said, for a lot of obese people, they've never put themselves in disciplines. Like, I don't want to eat the cupcake, therefore I will not. No, they're like, I want to eat it and I'm going to eat it. I don't want to work out and I'm not going to work out. I don't want to go and show up to my job, so I'm not going to show up to my job. So it kind of rolls in. He's like, for the most part, it kind of rolls into a lot of things that, you know, obese people's habits have, which is, you know, I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to. There's not a discipline there. And I thought this was so fascinating. So I started to journal, like, what are things in my life? And then what are things I want to teach my boys of, like, hey, this sucks. But my youngest, his name is Gavin, he's almost 10. And he is like obsessed with Navy SEALs. Like, he just thinks that they're just like the coolest people on earth. And being that my husband was in the military, he was an intelligence officer. We have friends that are Navy SEALs, and I've had some of them talk to him and, you know, almost like kind of like scare him. They're like, this, like, yeah, it's awesome. But like, and one of our friends was saying, he's like, you know, it's not, bronze is a big part of it. Yes, you need to be strong, but like where they get you is in your mind. And that is a big piece of it. You know, and I was thinking about my life. I was thinking about the way I'm raising my boys. I was thinking about my friends. Like, the people that I love being around are the people that are like really strong in their mindset, like super strong and very disciplined people. I love disciplined people. People that just like, they have goals and they have drive and they have disciplined habits to get them there. They're like my favorite people to be around. If you've never hung around someone that's like super disciplined in like their life and their habits, they're pretty inspiring. You're just like, your mind gets blown. And a lot of it comes from, you can see, like, you know, I love asking questions because a lot of it stems from like, well, I was strong and disciplined in this area, and then it started to pour into everything else. But the opposite is true too. It's like, well, I gave up on trying to be healthy, and then I gave up on my marriage, and I gave up on this, and I gave up on that. And it just starts to like bleed into everything else that you do. But the beautiful thing about this is it's backed up by science, which is like, it really truly does grow in your brain, and this can fight for you. And for those of you that know my story and have followed me here on my podcast, I had a life-threatening thing happen to me a few years ago. And the doctor literally told me, your body gave up, but your mind fought for you. Something in you said, we're not giving up. And now that makes sense, because I have put myself in several situations. I love putting myself in situations that are tough, because I know that that's grown me, but I didn't know scientifically it did. And then it made that part of my brain that when push comes to shove and I almost died, my mind went to work for me. So we just recently as a family watched this movie called Society of the Snow. It's a true story. I think it's on Netflix. And it's a true story of this rugby team that was flying to Chile to have a game. And they had to fly through this, it was in the 1970s, and they had to fly through this freezing cold Andes Mountains. And they were flying through it, like not on top. So what happened is, I don't want to give the whole thing away, but basically there's a plane crash. And that's kind of like what the whole movie is about. But the power to live, like the will that these young men had to live. They're in their 20s. They're a rugby team, so they're athletes. And I'd already listened to this Huberman thing, and this has already kind of been on my mind. But watching these young men and the power to live, like it does, like they're in the freezing cold. Like they're in the mountains. It said that during the night, it would drop 85 degrees. So it wasn't like it was the Bahamas in the middle of the day. So whatever, like, I'm thinking maybe it was like 30s, 40s, and it would drop 85 degrees. And there's some that survived this, okay? But there's this part of this movie, and I don't want to give it all away, so I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to share this a little bit. So if you don't want to share, if you want to watch the movie and you don't want me to tell you the ending, then push pause on this podcast, go watch the movie, and then come back and listen. But there is this part in this movie where these two guys are like, they volunteer and they hike 12 days in the freezing cold snow to get help. And they had already, I think it was over like 60 days that they've been in the freezing cold, like in this plane crash. I don't even know how they're doing this. And to survive, you guys, to survive, they ate their friends. So as people died, they would, before the people would die, they would be like, you have my blessing to like eat me. I'm not even kidding. So to survive for these days, like these 60 plus days, they ate their friends. Like talk about a low, right? But I'm watching this movie with my family. And the entire time, like my mouth was like to the floor. I'm just like, because first of all, like I don't do cold. Like my family knows that. I literally shut down. Like if I get too cold, I seriously start crying. Like I lose all emotions. I don't even know. And so I'm just like, my mind is just blown that this, you know, team is rallying together and they want to live and that there's hope. And that's what I just kept thinking. I'm like, so they seriously think that there's hope. The plane is white. The snow is white. They blend into the snow caps. There's no way people think that they are alive. So they even hear on the radio that they've stopped looking for these people because it's so cold that they'll look for them in the spring. Like they hear that, right? So they hear like no hope. No one's looking for you. It's freezing but cold. The only way to survive is eat your friends, yet they fight. And we watched this a couple days ago, and I seriously cannot get this movie out of my mind because I can't get also like this whole mid anterior part of your brain that grows. How amazing is this, right? And I'm like, if you take time to grow yourself, so these boys, okay, so I was talking to my husband about this. I'm like, okay. So I can't remember what country that this rugby team is from, but they're not from America. And it was in the 1970s. I'm like, so you know that their life wasn't like super grand, right? They probably had to work for a lot of things that they had. They were young boys. Rugby is not a game of like tennis, right? It's not like it's like a warrior game. You know, you don't go into your rugby game knowing that you're going to come out looking fresh and clean. Like you go in and you come out looking like you went into battle. So these boys that are in their 20s, right, they probably spend a majority of their life doing a lot of things that they don't want to do, but doing it anyways. And they grew that part of their brain, that anterior mid part of that brain is very developed by the time they were in their 20s and like mid-20s, 20s to 25. So when life throws you a curveball and boom, you get in a plane crash, that part of your brain goes to work for you. And there's a few that survived this plane crash. And I was thinking, and what I wanted to share with you today is this. What if you knew the end of your life, okay? And let's say you got in a car accident, or God forbid you got cancer or a life-threatening disease, but you spent a majority of your time in your life doing things you didn't want to do, disciplining yourself to do the things you didn't want to do, and it grew that part of your brain. So that when life throws you a curveball, you don't have to work so hard at fighting for your life. It goes to work for you because you've developed that part of your brain. That when you want to just throw in the towel and you don't have anything left in you to fight, your mind fights for you because of the work that you've been putting in every single day of doing the thing you don't want to do and doing it anyways. How powerful is that? That by resisting the temptation to go for the junk food in January, knowing that you set a goal in 2024, this is my year. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to get my habits aligned with my values, with who I am, with my goals. I'm going to discipline myself in these habits. I'm going to resist the temptation for the junk because I know that that's not serving me. I know that's not putting my best foot forward in my health for me and for my family. I'm going to go to the gym, even though I don't want to right now. I'm going to go because I know that it's good for me. And eventually, maybe I will love it. And that's not going to grow your brain once you love it. But when you don't love it and you do, it does grow your brain. When you resist the cupcake and you want the cupcake, that grows that part of your brain. When you do the thing you don't want to do and you do it anyways, it grows you. But here's the beautiful thing is what begins to happen, and I've done a lot of coaching on this in my program, Living Fit From Within. I coach a lot of clients on this, and that is this. When you do things that blow your mind, like when you resist the cupcake, like say for you, just resisting eating junk food, like for one day is just like, wow, mind-blowingly amazing and so hard for you. That's your new benchmark. And that's what I coach people. That's your new benchmark. And what I mean by that is this. You get to go to that and go, you know what? I did something yesterday that was freaking hard, but I did it. So if I can do that, what else am I capable of doing? And that is what begins to happen to that part of your brain that grows. Now that I know that that's actually what's taking place scientifically, is that that part of your brain is growing. I can look back on so many things in my life and be like, shoot, if I can do that, like I can totally do that. If I can build that business from scratch, I can do this business from scratch. If I can take that business from scratch, I can build this business from scratch. In 2020, in a pandemic, I can grow this sucker. Like when you have benchmarks of things that you thought were maybe impossible, but you discipline yourself and you do it anyways, and you grow and you blossom and you become something that you never thought you could be, and you do it because you did the things you didn't want to do and you did it anyways, that takes a new benchmark in your mind. And you can go back to that every time. But see, the sad part is also true. And I've seen this with my clients is if you don't change your identity and you don't change your habits to match your identity, your new identity, then your benchmark is always old ways. Oh yeah, I tried that, but I couldn't do it. Oh yeah, I tried to lose the weight, but I gained it back. That's your identity. So you quit trying. But what if you stuck to it and you could go back and say, yeah, I lost the weight and kept it off. Yeah, I like for me, like I competed in my fitness competition 5 years ago, but I look better now than I did then. Because that was the story I wrote for myself, but that was my benchmark. See, that's my benchmark. So you have to change your habits to discipline yourself to change your habits. Your habits then become who you are. And then who you are is your new identity. And that sets the new benchmark. But doing the thing you don't want to do and doing it anyways, most people don't do it. In fact, I'm going to have a lot of people listen to this podcast and maybe one or two of you will actually do what I'm saying. But those one or two of you, your life is going to be completely changed. So I encourage you in 2024, do the thing you don't want to do because you know that's what's going to grow you.